Hello and welcome to On the Line. I'm Carl Richter. Ina McDowell is in the forefront of efforts to bring Texarkana's long-neglected downtown back to thriving life. As executive director of Main Street Texarkana, she works to keep downtown rooted in its past as it progresses into a new future. We talked about the downtown renaissance currently underway, as exemplified by the renovation of the Hotel Grimm and other major projects, as well as what Main Street does to help accelerate the process and what you can do to get involved. Here's my conversation with Ina McDowell. Good morning. Thank you for joining me today. I know you're very busy.
Oh, good morning. I'm glad to be here.
First of all, for people who might not know, tell us what Main Street is and what you guys do and how you're related to the state level and national level organizations.
Well, actually, Main Street is part of a national program that we follow guidelines through the National Preservation Organization, and then there's the Main Street America Center.
Okay.
And so each state, every state in the United States, has a state-level Main Street program.
Mm-hmm.
And we all follow the same guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, us being a part of two states, I actually work with both Main Street Texas and Main Street Arkansas.
Okay.
But we're all under the same umbrella of the National Main Street Program, which actually started back in the early 80s and has been gaining momentum, I will say, in the last probably 10 years, which has been really exciting, I think, for Texarkana. We've actually been a Main Street program for about 16 years.
Okay.
So we've seen it with its ups and downs, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a wonderful program because it gives us opportunity to tap into other communities that have a thriving, successful downtown, where we can get ideas and just see where the program really works.
And the idea is to bring together both historic preservation and economic development.
Yes.
Sort of hand in hand.
Yes, right? Yes. And, you know, your downtown is really where you see the true history of your community.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes us unique. You can go out on the interstate and see a lot of the big box stores and restaurants that you're familiar with, and that's great. But your downtown is what really tells about your city. And, of course, we're known for being on the state line and the post office, courthouse, and all that. But when you look beyond that, mm-hmm, and see the early buildings and the businesses that are here, that were here, that's where you really learn about our community and what makes us who we are and what does make us unique. So under the program, we kind of laugh about stealing ideas from other communities.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certainly some things that we could use an idea from, but it's never going to be the same because,
right,
our own community has its own history. It doesn't look the same. And so whatever that idea is, it will be unique and new for us.
What's the vision? What do you see for downtown? What will the sort of end state be? And when you think of how you want downtown to be ultimately, what do you see?
Obviously, I'd love to see all the buildings full,
mm-hmm,
occupied. First, there are several that need repair.
Mm-hmm.
But we are honestly doing very well. We're in a very good position right now.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of good restaurants that are doing well that have really been down here a number of years. We're getting more retail. It's very exciting to see the growth in the art community,
mm-hmm,
in our downtown. And artists and their work certainly lends itself to the architecture and the history that you see in the architecture,
mm,
of our downtown. So to me, that's a perfect partner. You'll go into a lot of communities and they've got a theme, or they're trying to find something that they can say, we're, you know, the best at this, or you know, we're the top for coffee, or whatever it may be. And
right.
We really, I feel like, have kind of evolved into our own art community. And so that's really something that I'm proud of, and I'm learning every day the number of people that not only love art, but are artists themselves. And so, of course, I hope you've heard of the Downtown Live.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that. It's been really successful, hasn't it?
Yes, it's been a lot of fun.
Now, just remind people what that is.
So Downtown Live is held the second Friday of each month. And we started it back in May, just as an idea from a downtown artist, Joseph Raymond. Mm-hmm. Something that he and I had been talking about for some time. And, you know, he said, let's just do it. Let's just do it. He used the term raw. It's going to be raw. In other words, just... We're just going to make it happen. It may not be perfect, and it shouldn't be perfect.
Right.
But we want our artists to just show up and set up on the sidewalk, and then just have the community come out and walk around and watch the artist and talk to them. And it's really been a lot of fun. It's almost like a gathering of hometown, because you'll see a lot of people that you know. And the surprising thing is, I'm saying a number of those that are artists themselves, so talented.
Yeah.
And, of course, with the new entertainment districts that we have, that really has lent itself to be a success, because people can have dinner in the downtown restaurants and pick up a drink or pick up food, whatever, and wander around and just enjoy meeting and mingling with the artist.
What sorts of businesses are best suited to downtown Texarkana? Is there some sort of theme or pattern that you're seeing that is attractive to a certain kind of business?
Well, obviously, our most successful businesses have been the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
So we can say we like to eat.
Yeah.
And there's...
Who doesn't?
And there's a variety.
Yeah.
And one of the things that has helped us during COVID. a lot of downtown communities have more retail than we do, and that's been something that has bothered me, because we don't have that much retail with boutiques and that type of thing.
Right.
But really, I was relieved because we were able to succeed in many other ways and be successful because we did not have such a heavy retail community.
Mm.
Our restaurants did what they had to do to scale back. Of course, they had to close the seating area, but they also were able to provide the carry out, and some were delivering. And so they were able to continue on through COVID, whereas a lot of other places would have not been able to. So I would say restaurants are certainly successful in the downtown area. And then the things that kind of in partner with that, like our attractions, and that again goes back into the art and culture community and our history. And so there are a lot of things that the Perot and the museum system and the art galleries that are here, people can come out and enjoy those and have a place to dine. And so I feel like that's a great partnership, and they support each other. But, you know, the other thing that we're all excited about is the development and of housing and more people living downtown.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. What's the importance of that? Do we really need people living down here for it to be a successful, thriving downtown?
I really think we do, and that's something that we're taught through Main Street, is the more people that live in your downtown, the more successful it will be, because those people will help support the businesses that are in downtown.
Right.
Not only will we have people that live elsewhere in the community that come down and eat in the restaurants, but the people that actually live down here will certainly support them. And they say anything that's within walking distance of about 2 minutes is what people want from where they live, if they're living in the downtown area. So there's a rating that you can go through and determine if your downtown is walkable.
Mm-hmm.
There's books written about that. It's truly a science of figuring out if you're walkable. But generally speaking, a two-minute walk is what people want. And so it's really exciting to see all the new development with the Hotel Grimm and, of course, the Regions, the former Regions Bank building, and you know, the work that we're seeing going on at the old Texarkana National Bank building, 1894 Market. That's probably as far as that's probably one of the first true loft apartment complexes. Uh-huh. And it just it has done well from the day it became available. And I know
people
want
to live down here.
They do. They do. And I get calls about that all the time. And it's really exciting. And as mentioning the Hotel Grimm, I think people are so looking forward to that. And, of course, Berman Farr Building has stayed occupied, and they've done well. I don't know if you've ever been inside one of those apartments.
I haven't. How long has that been open?
Oh, gosh. Less than 10 years, but the apartments are beautiful.
Yeah.
They have the exposed brick and washer and dryer in each one, which is a great thing. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's you'd be surprised the number of people that have been living down here for a number of years that are just on the second level of some of these properties. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, one of our major stakeholders is Jeff Sandifer, that I think he was probably one of the first that had that vision that came down and started building and making loft apartments available. And I remember before I was even a part of the Main Street program and getting to tour one of those, and I thought, wow, this is so fabulous. And so it's continued on, but having these larger living spaces is really going to lend to the further progress of our downtown.
So the historical preservation part, I think about this a lot. It's difficult, isn't it? I mean, it's expensive. There's red tape. There's a lot of effort involved. What makes it worth it? Why go through all that rather than just tearing something down and building something new?
Well, of course, the study shows, statistics show that you can still fix up and repair an older building, and it lasts longer than if you were to go and build a new building.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
That is.
Is that just because they were built better back in the day?
Built better. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And that's been proven time and time again, that you're better off to fix up an older building. I mean, look at what we have and how long it stood. You've got buildings well over 100 years old down here. And they're beautiful and they're unique and they tell a story that a newer building isn't going to have, just the history.
Right. It's back to that sort of personality of the city you were talking about.
Yes, it is. And that's a part of our downtown that I love. You know, having worked at the museum system for a number of years, that was really my first taste of history, community history. And I learned more about the people there, but now I see the buildings and the businesses that were there, and then of course how that relates to the people that were working in those businesses. Mm-hmm. But I think we have some wonderful architecture, and another part that is so fun is when I get to tour a building that someone has recently purchased or is finishing up repairing and going to open a business, and they are so proud to tell the story of that building.
Yeah, I can imagine this just such a satisfying feeling to bring something back to life.
Yes, it's a huge accomplishment. Most people really want to bring the building back to the way it looked originally, which, you know, is easily in the late 1800s. And that's not always possible.
Right.
You do have to be realistic in terms of, you know, if you've got a facade that's on there that you're trying to remove, well, there's a possibility that it could damage that original brick. Mm-hmm. And so you have to weigh, as you're saying, the expenses, and that's an important part of it. But there's so much that you can do with an existing building to just give that character that you're not going to find in any other place but downtown.
All the latest news and more is always right at hand with the Texarkana Gazette mobile app. Updates and breaking news alerts throughout the day keep you up to speed on everything happening in Texarkana and beyond. There's even a daily digital replica of our print edition. All the features you love, like puzzles and our special sections, are right there. It's like having the whole paper in your pocket or purse. Best of all, it's free to download. Look for the Texarkana Gazette app in Google Play or the Apple App Store today. And what does Main Street do to help people achieve this sort of preservation? What kind of work are you guys doing to help those processes along?
Well, we have a different number of different areas that we can support people through the Main Street program. We have incentives. And that's one thing going back to the national program. We all follow, there's what's called the four-point approach that we all follow as far as providing design assistance. We can get an architect down here or a design person that can give a rendering of the front of the building. Say you've decided on the business or, you know, you want to fix up the building and maybe lease it. We can provide free of charge a rendering of the before and the after look. And that's always just amazing what you can do with some paint or repair of a window. We also help with signage, paint colors, all those things that can be a bit complex that we can help with that all free of charge. We also are able to provide low interest loans. We have a revolving loan. We have several people right now in the downtown area that are participating in that, and we'd love to be able to do that. You know, sometimes people get a loan from the bank, and maybe they need just a little bit extra, and so to help maybe with the initial cost. And so we can come in and kind of basically provide that gap fund that they need to get their business or the building going. And that's an exciting part of what I do and the people that I get to work with and, you know, the entrepreneurs and maybe a retired person that's had a dream that they've wanted to fulfill for years and they're finally getting that opportunity. And, so we can help them with, as I mentioned, renderings or the loans. We also have, some small grants that are available, and typically these are limited to the Arkansas side. However, we have a local foundation that has been really helpful in assisting with some small grants on the Texas side. And I'm not opposed to reaching out and asking or begging on behalf of a new business or a property owner, because I want people to succeed. And we do anything we can to help them. So it's kind of neat. Sometimes it's like marrying someone to here's a great building and marrying them with the perfect business and their dream. And
A sort of a de facto realtor role too, in a way. You're showing these buildings a lot. Is that right?
And I actually don't show the buildings so much as we put in touch people with, say, the building owner or the realtor. And we can provide information as far as what buildings are for sale or for lease. And so I'll have a lot of conversations with people as far as what kind of business are you looking to open? How much square footage do you need? What is the price range? And we have a website, actually, that I refer people to that's downtowntx.org. And a lot of people will look at that website and then call me back and may have some specific questions about a property. Say, does the roof need repair? When was the building built? And a little bit of history about the building, and so I can provide that as well as the contact information that they may need to purchase or lease that building. And then once someone makes a decision about purchase or starting a business, then we can step in again and help them with the renderings and those top things to get them started. And as I mentioned, the grants, we kind of can help with that finishing touch, with help with the sign or maybe paint on the front of the building, maybe a new awning, that kind of thing.
Right.
And so those finishing touches, say the lipstick, mm-hmm. it might be all they need. And so that's a fun thing that we can come in and help out with grant funds.
What's the name of the tour you've done a couple of times recently where people can go around and see all the available properties downtown?
Yeah, it's called Imagine the Possibilities. We haven't been able to have it in a couple of years, but what we did do is we've put up posters on the buildings that were available with the information, like I'm saying, as far as square footage and the year it was built and the contact information and price, if we have that available. And it's surprising the number of people that have purchased buildings based on that information just being posted for them.
Right.
So Sunday afternoon, they're downtown just driving around, and it's a perfect way for them to get information on a building.
A little light bulb goes off when you see those signs.
Yeah, and we look forward to doing those tours again because there's nothing like actually being able to walk through the building and getting that vision.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, what would be needed to get it where you need it to operate a business or to have that use of the building that you want. But those tours are very popular, and it is a lot of fun.
How did you get into doing this? What was your path to be coming involved in Main Street?
Well, actually, I was on the board of the Main Street program when it started.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot about it then. And then even at that time, though, I was working with our museum system. So I have many years in our downtown and grew up in Texarkana. So I have some great memories of what our downtown looked like, just like a lot of other people. And coming downtown to buy my dance shoes at Massey's Shoes. And
eat at the cafeteria.
Yeah, at Bryce's, of course. And so I appreciate all that, and it's a fun thing to reflect on that and share those memories with people that come downtown and are considering moving in downtown or opening a business. And so that's fun, but I guess that's where my first love was. And I started out as a tour guide when they first opened the Ace of Clubs house.
Oh, really?
And so I loved that. That was so much fun. That was my Sunday afternoon before I was married, no kids, and I could come down and spend the afternoon at the Ace of Clubs house.
Right.
And so there is nothing more fun, though, than sharing the history and just those good memories with someone else in the community. And then that just basically evolved into where I am now. So it's definitely all been connected, and have a lot of roots, of course, with working with the art community, with track, and of course, the Perot and the museum system. And there's just a lot of really good people that work in our downtown community. And it's a family. It's a family, and it takes all of us working together.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about working together with city government. How does that partnership go? I mean, you guys rely on each other a lot, correct?
Yes, and it is very important that we work together. I typically work more directly with the business owner or the property owner, but I always impress on them that they need to be talking to the city directly. And obviously with two cities, the rules can vary a little bit. Someone may come in and think, oh, I'm getting this building for, say, as cheap as $20,000. And, they think they're getting a steal. And I just really try to say, put the brakes on until you realize depending on which side of the city you're on, what is going to be required.
There's permits. You have to get everything yes. up to code, et cetera.
Yes. There is a very precise list that you have to make sure that you do before you can open your doors. And, you know, I would never want to mislead anyone on that. I mm-hmm. want our downtown to be successful, and anyone that is here, I want them to be successful. But it's very important. One thing I'd like to mention that I've been really excited about, we just had a major donation, actually from the Patterson-Troike Foundation, to install what's called dark night-friendly lighting. And so there are new lights that have been put on Broad Street that actually direct the light straight down onto the sidewalk.
Oh, interesting. So less light pollution.
Yes, exactly. And so that's kind of a new thing. It certainly is for us to say that we have those now. And I was recently at a Main Street Texas conference, and that was a big discussion. There are a lot of communities that are trying to do that. And so it was kind of, I was proud to say, oh, we've got that. And I had a major donor make sure that we could do that. And that's part of what's so important for our downtown is people feeling safe. And so that's something I really strive to do. I always feel comfortable in the downtown area, but good lighting is essential. And
it is really safe down here, isn't it? I mean, there's not much crime happening down here at all.
No, and obviously we're surrounded by police stations.
So yeah.
It wouldn't take them long to get there if you needed them, but
right.
I always feel safe. But the more lighting that we can have, the better. I would love to see all of our buildings lined with the lights like what we mm-hmm. see now on East Broad, and having that just continue on Broad Street. We tried to do that last year before the Christmas parade, and there were just too many obstacles in the way.
Right.
But that's a goal of this year, and I hope that we can make that happen because, yes, people want more light, but also it just looks so pretty. It just makes the whole area more vibrant.
So let's talk about the Christmas parade. It's back on.
It is. We are planning for it on Monday night, December the 6th. I'm already getting lots of calls about that, and we'll have the application available on our website very soon. But to plan ahead, the deadline for getting an entry in is always the weekend of Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And so you can go ahead and start planning for that. But I feel like we're going to have a good number of people that want to participate since we didn't get to have it last year.
Yeah. There's sort of a pent-up demand.
Yeah. And, you know, we have a lot of good churches and businesses and, of course, the school bands. And it's really wonderful to see the people that come out that not only do participate, but also just come to watch and just enjoy the parade. And, of course, we have our mayors that always lead the parade. Mm-hmm. And I do plan to have those camels this year.
All right.
The three camels, they've just kind of become a part of the parade, and you just can't have a parade without them. And of course, Santa Claus. I mean, gosh, you know.
Yeah.
Don't forget him.
What would it be without Santa?
That's right. Well, we'd be missing a ho, ho, ho.
Any other events you have coming up? We talked about Downtown Live and the Christmas parade. No Dine on the Line this year.
No, in fact, that would have been this month. No, but there are a lot of events that are occurring during the month of October. So I recommend that you can go to the Main Street website and just click on the link for the various locations in the downtown area, such as Silver Moon on Broad, the Children's Theater. They have a production this month. Cross Ties is doing an event basically every month in October. There's going to be a lot going on for Halloween. I'm really excited about that entire weekend. And there's a big festival coming up the weekend before that. There's actually a cleanup, and I wanted to mention that just briefly. But, you know, we talk about the lighting and people feeling safe, but it also needs to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it takes, if we can just impress upon people to pick up after yourself, you know. Right. That makes such a difference. There's lots of trash can, whatever you call them, dispensers, cans around. Yeah. And that's a real priority with our cities, and that's something that we want to hopefully continue to work with them on, that of keeping our downtown clean and just nice to enjoy. So if nothing else, just pick up your own trash.
That's easy enough. It should be.
Yeah.
It seems like it should be.
Well, there's a big cleanup day actually planned October the 23rd. So if you really want to be a wonderful volunteer for our community, come join us on that day because it's going to be a citywide cleanup day.
Great. I'll be sure and put that in the show notes so people will remember.
Great.
What about fundraising? It's been hard, huh? Dine on the Line has been one of your main fundraisers for a few years now, and you haven't had it in a couple of years.
Yes. It is difficult, no doubt. And we are certainly open to anyone that can think about Main Street with your year-end giving, because it's really very important. We are a nonprofit, and we are successful based on the donations that we do receive. We do produce the Texarkana City Guide that is a fundraiser for us that's produced one time a year in the spring. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Having not had Dine on the Line makes things a little more lean. But we definitely need the support. There's so many great things that are happening in our downtown, and I'm excited about what our 2022 can be. If things do continue to progress, and COVID kind of, we can put that on the back shelf for a little bit.
Yeah.
And not have to think about that so much. But we genuinely appreciate and need the support to help us continue to operate and to support our downtown area. We do get some funding for the grants, but those are very specific and designated grant funds.
Right.
We get some funds from the Texarkana Area Community Foundation, which we are so appreciative of, that help us with the planters in the downtown area. In fact, those planters were all purchased through donations, through local donations. So those things, you know, they cost money, and we couldn't do it without the support of the community.
What else can people do if they want to get involved?
Well, come down for a cleanup day.
Yeah.
I say, really, one of the easiest things that you can do is come downtown and support the businesses. Support the activities and the events that are happening, because that's what's going to keep our downtown alive.
Yeah.
You know, people invest, and they invest big in our downtown, and we've got to support them. And certainly we welcome any new businesses. We love that. But if nothing else, please support what we have. And by doing that, you're supporting our entire community. I know that it's no secret. When people come to Texarkana, oftentimes that's the first thing they want to see is the downtown.
Yeah.
And it truly is a measure of your entire community. What do people think about their community? And that's displayed in your downtown.
Yeah.
Do you preserve and protect your history? Do you care about your downtown? Are the businesses that are there thriving? And I love Texarkana, and I think that we need to let everyone else know that comes to our community. It's important. Our downtown is very important, and it just takes all of us working together.
Well, you're leading the charge, and thanks so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us about it today. Hopefully, we'll get some people out for that cleanup on October 23rd.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Sure. Stay in touch.
All right.
On the Line is a Texarkana Gazette podcast recorded in Star Bear Studio, right here in downtown Texarkana, USA. The show was written, produced, and edited by Carl Richter. News stories are based on Gazette staff reports. Texarkana Gazette podcasts are made possible in part by a grant from the Google News Initiative Journalism Emergency Relief Fund. I'll see you next week on The Line.